Catch up on Husey and Kate in comfort and style with a pair of Skechers new Go Run Mojo trainers. See the range at Skechers.com.au.
I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this? 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this? Gather round on the radio now for Husey and Kate.
The Husey and Kate catch up.
Yes, happy Monday, one and all. Husey and Kate here to drive you home.
Guys, it is December. We're officially clocked into summer.
We've got the decorations up.
Oh, it's Christmas central here.
We can say Merry Christmas to people now. I'm always a bit embarrassed with the first. What's that, Jack?
Just some sleigh bells.
I don't know about that.
You're not a fan of any of the Christmas stuff.
No, I would like a proper.
Give it to me one more time. I didn't hear it properly. No, it's something. I did feel like it's a bit early for that. It's a bit early, guys. The studio is decorated like we're a commercial operation and children are going to be lining up and we're going to charge them $10 a photo.
Exactly. It's very decorated. It's
mine lined up yesterday, Katie. Yeah, the traditional now with my sister-in-law's kids and our kids. There was a small line, apparently.
Did you go to a department store?
Yeah.
To Meijer?
No, it wasn't Meijer. No, it was a shopping centre. But a small line, still an hour and a half. The story is that Santa was spending too long
with each family.
Too long. Santa, roll it along, mate.
Well,
you're costing yourself money here.
Yeah, but
because
Santa
people lose interest in the line.
And also, he's got other jobs to do.
Exactly, Santa. You've got to get back to the bloody
North Pole.
Yeah, making the toys.
He doesn't make them, the elves.
Well, he helps. He oversees the operation.
He's overseeing the elves.
Katie, look.
Yes, you.
There's a lot going on. Did your husband compliment you? We're going to find that out in about half an hour.
He said something to me at a party on Saturday. Well, he said to someone else about me.
You think it was a compliment?
I loved it.
But other people think it wasn't a compliment.
Yes.
We'll get to that. Overrated, underrated, that's coming up. Australia's new favourite game. Favourite new game. Australia's favourite new game.
Thank you. Ooh, did you hear that frosty silence?
Yes, and on the subject of Christmas, my children are freaked out because of something that's gone on in our house.
That terrified them.
Well, one of them in particular. But yeah, when we come back.
Can we say what it was?
Well, we'll explain it when we come back.
Okay.
Something about Christmas has terrified a child in my family. Well, maybe two of them, actually. Two of the three. Maybe all three.
Husey and Kate.
We're going to check in with Hollywood Hughes later on. He's got some news about Ariana Grande.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, hot off the presses.
I mean, what?
Not even on the presses.
What he knows, you will not hear anywhere else.
It'll end up on the presses.
Of course, it does.
Once the presses hear about the story that Hollywood Hughes has got.
Presses?
Yeah, well, how else does your newspaper get pressed?
I don't know. Now it could be digital.
In my new world order, I'm unwrapping newspapers. You know that. You know, I'm like the plastic wrappers.
Do you get angry about the plastic?
No, I treat that as a meditation. Find the line, unwrap. And it's a way that you can really just commune with nature.
How long does it take in that meditation?
It can take quite a while.
Quite a while.
And sometimes you rip.
You rip the plastic.
Which is not good.
In frustration?
Yes, frustration. Hey, so we've just been singing. You had the Christmas songs going on before that great song. Elf on the Shelf.
Okay.
Elf on the Shelf.
Not everyone knows about Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah, no,
you need to explain it to us.
Elf doesn't appear at everyone's house, but the elf has been appearing in our house for the last few years.
And the elf is a little
elf.
Little wooden elf.
Little what? Well, let's listen to this Elf on the Shelf song.
Okay.
1st of December, Elf on the Shelf starts appearing.
Mm. It's like an advent calendar.
Yeah, and how has Elf on the Shelf terrified my children? I'll tell you in a second, but here we go. This is the song.
The Elf on the Shelf, where can you be? I pop out of bed each morning to see. You watch as I try to do as I should. At night you tell Santa the news is all good.
Isn't she a bit old? She's a bit old elf popping out of bed to see what the elf has done, that lady.
No, well, that's not worry about how old that lady is. So,
that's just odd.
So the Elf on the Shelf.
I thought it was for kids.
You pop out of bed, the kids pop out of bed and find where the elf is, and the elf can be anywhere. So
the elf moves around the house.
Yeah, and the elf watches you, and the elf reports back to Santa.
Do you put the elf in the bathroom?
No, the elf just turns up places.
Right. I don't want the elf.
The elf turns up to places.
Yeah.
Now the first.
And I want the elf this is watching where, him in the bathroom, reporting to Santa.
Can you describe
too much cake?
I put a photo of where the elf turned up on the first day of Alf, December 1st, and this is my daughter Sadie looking at the elf where he turned up. She found the elf in the bathroom.
And he was in the bathroom.
He was. Just describe what you see on the photo of the elf and what the elf has done.
Oh, okay. So the elf, it's the back of Sadie's head.
Yes.
And there's a little elf sitting in his little red suit.
What's he holding?
A toothbrush.
No, not a toothbrush.
Well, what is it?
A toothpaste.
Oh, toothpaste. It
yes.
is toothpaste.
And what's he done with the toothpaste?
Oh, he's written a message.
On the tiles of the shower.
Of the shower.
And what does the message
in
say?
Big white toothpaste smeared writing. Mm. I'm back. 24 sleeps to go.
And so I thought that was fun. I thought the elf's done
horrendous.
A good job there. But people are just, look, read some of the comments on the Instagram of people. What are they saying?
Okay, that's actually terrifying. I mean, why would she ever sleep again?
That was from Emerald Shiano.
Yes.
Even
laid-back Crisco Magic has gone, that's kind of creepy, man.
Hundreds of comments. Of
terrifying.
People are freaked out by
move house.
Yeah, well, and Katie, this is what happened. It's not Sadie, but when Tess, the 5-year-old, was asked to go upstairs to get...
she hadn't seen him yet.
No, she'd seen him. This is after she'd seen him. She was asked up to go upstairs to get some socks.
Yeah.
She said, I can't go up there. What if the elf is up there?
The elf. That looks like a horror film. People have said.
So the elf is freaking my children out. So did the elf
creepy,
make...
Creepy, terrifying.
Did the elf make a misstep by putting the message in toothpaste on the shower?
Yes, he did. he's not supposed to do... He doesn't need to do that. It's enough that he's there, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the elf does whatever he wants to do. He's the elf
How
on the
he
shelf.
Get up that high to write?
He's
only
the
little.
Elf on the shelf. He can do whatever.
His writing's very poor.
What he can,
he should spend less time terrifying little children and more time going to school.
But I actually don't mind children being terrified, but
yeah, frightened.
A little
it's
bit
fine.
Frightened, a little
yes,
bit of fear in
I
their
agree.
Lives.
I did it once, remember?
How did you scare your children?
Well, do you want me to tell you now?
I will come back and tell
What's
us.
Our number,
all right. 13, 10, 60. Time to fess up. How did you frighten your kids?
I didn't think this would frighten them as much as it did, and it terrified them.
And maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it was the elf, or maybe it was Santa who frightened the children.
All right.
Yes, correct. 13.
They might not have just. Yeah, I mean, in this case, it's the elf who's frightened the children. It's not our fault. It's the elf's fault.
Yeah, the elf.
Yes,
that elf's got to go. Snap his head.
Well, the elf will be
pop him in the recycle bin.
No,
well, you know what?
Christmas just wouldn't happen then.
Just like
don't take that back.
Okay,
don't
I do.
Say, you know, you can't snap. That's the worst thing you've ever said.
Is it?
Yes.
I've said some pretty bad things.
No, that is the worst thing.
Is it? I don't like it.
Santa would cancel Christmas if you...
Why has Santa released this elf to come live in your house? Because this is the elf Santa wants to get rid of. This is like what anyone is who it? Turns up looking for a job interview with a good reference.
No.
You don't want them.
What?
13, 10, 60. How did you terrify
Sus
your kids?
On that elf.
Husey and Kate.
Husey's kids have been, well, slightly terrified by this. The elf on the shelf, where can you be? I
pop out of bed each morning to see you watch. Why is she popping out of bed? She should be getting ready to go to work. She's a grown-up.
No, look, the elf
wrote a creepy message in... A frightening message in toothpaste on the wall. I'm back. 24 sleeps to go. And there he is sitting up there on the shelf.
Holding the toothpaste tube that he wrote the message in. I didn't realise it was creepy. My daughter doesn't want to go upstairs on her own now because he might be roaming.
But also, if the kids wrote on the wall in toothpaste, you'd be furious at them.
Yeah, it took a long time to get off.
Yeah. It's
really long time.
What's this elf doing? Anyway, we're talking about frightening kids.
But our elf only stays downstairs and the kids, they know that now. So the elf will be downstairs. And the elf does not go up to where we sleep.
Oh, verboten.
Yes, we've had a talk to the elf and the elf stays downstairs.
What did the elf say?
Said, I won't go upstairs.
Did he explain?
Downstairs.
Did he explain why he did that?
He thought it'd be a good idea.
All right. So these things always seem like a good idea before you terrify your children.
Well, the elf is terrifying the children.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Well, I did it. I
you
terrified
did it.
My children.
How?
Because I don't know how I got this. It was when they were little and I had four children under six. So I had a lot of little children. And I think it makes you, it's another word for angry. Anyway, I was that word.
You just go with
just
angry.
Whatever. I had three of them in the bath one day and someone had told me this thing that was supposedly funny, where you walk into the bath and you pretend that you've put special bubble wash in the bath.
Bubble bath?
And it's made them invisible.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I walked in there and I pretended that I couldn't see them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I pushed it a bit far. Maybe I pushed it a bit far.
And so they freaked out. Thinking.
Absolutely freaked out. And they were jumping up to look in the mirror. And I was just like, where are they?
Sounds like fun.
Papa, have you seen the kids? I'm like, where are they? What's happened? Have they run away?
Did he join
and
in
they were
or was
screaming.
He?
No, he had no interest. And they were absolutely, it ended up with them all crying hysterically.
Yeah, it's easy. That's
it
easy.
Was terrible.
It's and easy then I had to get them crying.
But in that moment.
You think it's fun and it's not fun. It's disturbing.
Invisible bubble bath, like that's the greatest.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. Amanda, you know what she's talking about. What did you try?
It's probably my favourite thing to do is scare my kids. So a couple of days ago I wrapped myself up in tinsel and jumped out of the cupboard every time they walked into the room.
Yeah, right. Love it.
Did it freak them out?
Well, no, not as much as I was hoping so. They're kind of used to being scared now.
Yeah, right. So the novelty's worn off. You need to up your game.
I know. I'm actually loving that bubble bath one.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's good. But be careful, Amanda. It's very powerful.
Have you got a chain?
Well, my kids are only really little, so yes. They're already over it.
I reckon maybe a chainsaw, I reckon. Can you get hold of a chainsaw?
No, no.
Why not?
Because we're mothers. We like to work psychologically. Yeah. We don't work with physical.
Well, tinsel's not working.
The bubble bath is good. You tell them before, I'm going to use some special. I was given this bubble bath. I don't know if it works, but it's supposed to make you invisible.
Yeah, William, was
set
this
the scene.
Did your mother do it to you, William?
Yeah, so my mum basically took me to a gold mining place and she wanted me to have a really good time and she got one of the staff that was there to come over and have a little fun with me. And he came over and he was...
Was it like an old village, like a Sovereign Hill sort of set up?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Ye oldie days.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, good, so perfect.
And he said, I wonder if I could chop your head off and stick it back on. So he got out his fake sword, which looked really real to me. I was pretty young. And he held it up to my head and I just lost it crying.
How old do you think you were? What do you reckon?
Oh, probably 6 or 7.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And had your mum left at that point?
No, I left and then she tried to look for me and
you'd
she gave me
away.
A lollipop. Yeah,
she gave lollipop. Me a lollipop. You thought you were going to be decapitated. I mean, it's not. I don't think that's right
but
for a 6-year-old.
But he was going to attach his head back on.
Liz, is this you having memories come back, are you?
Yes, I am. We have a bit of a family one that you pass on as parents. My parents did it to me. I've done it to my kids and my sisters have done it to their kids. But we Willy Winky visits and gets the kids to bed.
And how does he do that, Wee Willy Winky?
Well, so usually, one of the parents goes around outside the house and raps on the windows or knocks on the door and the kids dive into bed and don't move.
Yeah, because there's a man outside who's going to kill them if they stay awake.
I never understood Wee Willy Winky.
No, I didn't know about it either.
It
doesn't sound right, though. You shouldn't be knocking.
Shirt.
Don't be outside the house knocking on the window. Julie, this is a recent one, we believe.
This is a recent one. So it's in the lines with that cheeky elf on the shelf. My 3-year-old daughter actually received a phone call from Santa the other night.
Wow.
It was an encouragement phone call to let her know that she needs to be a good girl and to go to bed.
Yeah, and what happened?
So she doesn't get put on the naughty list.
Yes.
And let's just say from now on, every time my phone rings, she is absolutely petrified and thinks that it's Santa calling. She covers her ears and runs away to another room and hides.
Yeah, the Santa's phone call can go wrong. Yeah, absolutely.
I've never had a phone call from Santa.
Well, Santa's rang our house many times.
Has he?
Absolutely. But then the kids say, I want to speak to him, Dad. And I'm saying, no, he doesn't want to speak to you.
Cusie and Kate.
Time for Australia's favourite new game.
Hey, what's up?
Underrated.
No. Underrated.
No.
It's overrated.
Very simple. 13, 10, 6, the underrated, overrated.
Yeah, the simplicity is what makes it such a great game to play, Katie. It's you give us a subject and mm-hmm. we decide whether you think that subject is overrated or underrated. Now, I believe Jack has a subject for us and wants to play the game.
Bonjour.
Well, how art thou?
Well, thank you.
Can you do this and press buttons at the same time?
Well, luckily I don't have to push any buttons while I talk at the moment.
But also he knows whether he's... Yeah. Normally we have to tell Jack.
Yes.
And we've got to keep it a secret.
Or the person has to tell
Jack. Yeah, people under. Yep. So, yeah, what's the subject, Jack?
My subject is the wallet.
A wallet.
The wallet.
A wallet.
Ooh.
Oh, wallet, yeah.
Ooh, the wallet.
I'm going to just... I
well, if you don't have the wallet, is it just cash in your pocket or a card in your pocket?
Well, people often don't have cash anymore.
Yeah, but they've got a card.
Just a card.
Well, I don't think I'd be
confident. A wallet is bulky in the pocket.
With a card in my pocket. I've got a lot of cards. Perfect place to keep it.
I'm going to go with underrated. Jack thinks it's not what I think. It's what I think Jack thinks.
I'm also going to go with underrated because I can't think of an alternative.
Here we go.
You know what I got on the weekend? I don't know what you call this thing, but it's
tiny little card.
A card holder.
It's just like a card holder. That's all you need.
It's the death of cash, is what you're saying.
That is a wallet. That's a card holder.
No, that's not a wallet. No, it's not a wallet. I agree.
My wallet's got receipts in it. It's got
bulky.
It's bulky.
So where are you going to put those things now?
I don't need them. I'm getting rid of them.
But where are you going to put your receipts?
I'm going zen with my receipts.
But where are you going to put your receipts?
Well, at home.
What do I need my receipts?
He's not going to carry him around his wallet all day.
I
carry a lot
this.
Of stuff in my wallet I don't need.
That's all you need.
Yeah, all right. You might
do
have changed
what?
My life.
A lot of
money clip. Perfect.
Lot of men who have sciatica, it's from carrying a wallet in their back pocket and over years and years that just slight pressure throwing your back out of alignment. Especially in your case, Hughie.
I've got a sore back today.
Your wallet's like a brick thick.
It is thick.
With all the notes.
Yeah, well, you took a fair few of them just a moment ago.
That's how we play.
Yeah.
13, 10, 60. Give us a call. Overrated,
can
underrated.
Be any subject what you like. Yep. Your opinion's always right.
The Hughie and Kate catch up. Hughie and Kate.
Underrated.
No. Underrated.
No.
It's over.
13, 10, 60 for your overrated, underrated.
It is Australia's favourite new game.
I've got one here, Katie. So this is very specific. But do your best.
All right. So I'm just playing.
Yes.
Okay. Jack can't play because he knows.
I know.
All right. It's just
being
me.
Being in a congregation of people. And I'm not. This is not religious, but just a congregation of people outside, and it's windy.
I'm not playing.
No, is it when it's
that's
windy?
Ridiculous.
It's windy.
What?
Is that overrated or underrated? The windiness.
Well, if you're at a festival, that can be fun. Like once I was at a bush doof with my husband. Well, I'll tell you how it could be good. We were at a bush doof and there was a, what do you call them when the wind blows a little?
Whirly twirl.
Yeah, a whirly gig or something.
No, whirly thing. Something whirly. Yeah,
something whirly. And it picked up a pair of pants
and
blew them up into the air and blew air into the legs. So it looked like
incredible.
A man's legs. So that was excellent.
Well, what do you think I think? Do you think I think
I think you quite like it, actually. You're perverse. I think you think it's underrated.
Underrated.
Yes.
You know why I think it's underrated, though?
Why?
Because you can be flatulent without worrying because it disperses so quickly. So you don't have to worry about people coming up to you after you're flatulent because before you know it's gone.
We understand.
Yeah, it's great. Really,
if I'd known that was the payoff. Now,
People of Canberra were very happy yesterday.
What's our number, Jack, for people who want to play?
13, 10, 60. Don't forget, everyone who calls the show and gets on air gets a Men and Mongrels calendar as well. So even more reason to give it.
You know what? And Bubbles, who came from Denise from Paws, the great charity that I got my rescue dog Bubbles from, she's going to get a stack of calendars that she can give out to everyone, including her. Bubbles will be on. Is
you're
on the
cutting
calendar.
Into underrated, overrated time.
Well, I didn't mean he started it. Now let's go to Neil. What is your subject?
Hello, hello. Well, my subject is car air fresheners.
Overrated. They stink, most of them. And when you get them, the car.
Yeah, but what does she think?
Well,
though?
I can only think what I think, and then. How do I know what she thinks? I don't know her.
Well, I reckon she thinks it is underrated. That's what I think she thinks.
But her name's Tanil.
You think overrated. I think she thinks it's underrated. Here we go.
It's overrated.
Thank you, Tennille. You and I see, as the French would say, year to year.
Good on you, Tennille. We're going to move on because we've got a few to get through here. Carly, what is it? What's your subject?
Drawstring bag.
I don't know what
a bag that's got a drawstring. It's very simple.
But in what context?
Well, it doesn't matter. We get minimal information. We make our disjudgments.
All right. That's how we run our whole show, actually.
You're doing really well. You're on a roll at the moment, so you go first.
Drawstring
you go first.
Bags.
But I don't want you to think it through too much.
Oh, no, because you're just going to copy me.
All right. I think that she thinks they're underrated because I reckon they're pretty handy, and I think she thinks they're handy. Go.
Overrated.
Thank you. Boom. I'm back. You should have joined me.
Why, Carly? I know I should have. Why?
They are just amazing. Like, I use them for so many different things.
Yeah, exactly.
What sort of drawstring bags?
Did you draw the string on them and they
and
close?
And then you can hang it over your shoulder.
And the bag closes. It's a great
handy
concept.
Cameron. Definitely underrated.
Cameron, what's your subject?
Girls wearing baggy shirts.
All the girls are, Cameron, except I have trouble finding one that's baggy on me.
Baggy shirts. Can I say, is that sexy? A baggy shirt. Do you think, Jack, that is sexy?
Yeah, I think so.
I like baggy tracksuit pants, I think are sexy.
Mm. If they're worn with a tight top.
Real fleecy.
Or do you like
I love the fleecy ones.
Do you like the whole baggy, I'm trying to score some crack?
No, that look. No. They're a different look.
No, just that. I heard you. Yeah, this is pretty sexy.
No, well, it could be. It's case by case. Cameron, I'm going to say, Heath, I'm going to go with overrated. That's
I agree.
Underrated. You think they're hot, do you, Cameron? Hot?
Oh, they're absolutely. Oh, they're amazing. You never know what's underneath it.
Yeah, right. So like a surprise. Yes.
Oh, you know, I wear a caftan on that basis, Cameron. Also sexy.
Hmm. Sometimes you do know, Beck. What is it, Beck?
Asparagus.
Oh. Very tricky, Beck. For starters, we don't know if you're talking about tinned or fresh.
No, we're not, we can't answer.
But also you can have fun with asparagus when you smell each other's wee.
A spear.
Or your own. Like within 5 minutes. It's the most amazing thing.
Well, I'm going to say overrated.
But I'm not mad on the taste
what
of it.
What does she think? Have her an answer. Let's roll this game along. We've got to move on. We've got the Barefoot Investor waiting to come on the show.
Overrated.
You've really gone off the boil.
No, right off.
Had a shocker.
You've thrown me.
Absolute shocker.
You love it, Beck?
I do. It's fantastic. Fresh, crunchy asparagus.
Mm,
how's about the smell?
Turn me around. She loves the smell.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it is. I don't hate the smell. It's just sometimes you forget you've eaten it and then you suddenly remind it like an hour later.
You know what? I like my urine to smell because then I know where to avoid in the house.
Okay, we'll leave it there, shall we? Hughie and Kate.
Dear, oh dear.
The Hughie and Kate catch up.
Driving you home this Monday afternoon. One day of Hughie and Kate Langbrook.
So much still to come in the show. Kate's
glorious
husband, did he compliment her? She thinks he did.
I loved what he said, but other people standing around at this party seemed to think
it was an insult.
They thought it was funny and a bit of a dig.
A backhanded compliment?
No, I just loved it.
What was it?
It was a stunning compliment.
Or was it?
Unusual, very
unusual.
Was it
a really hurtful put down?
Well, if it is, I'm sure you'll be the first one to point it out.
I will give my opinion.
That I'm here quite happy with what my husband said. And
you brought this to the table.
Like I'm a helium balloon, you will prick me.
You brought this to the table and you want the question to be answered by other people. So don't judge me by answering the question, and if you're not happy with it, I'm sorry. But I'm not here to blow wind up your backside. I'm not here to sugarcoat the truth. I'm here to tell you as it is.
Well, in the spirit of that, is that not why we have our next guest?
Well, he is
and we really need him. This is a month of the year where, I mean, you need him all year round.
He's a legend, and I knew him before he was famous, when he used to come onto the project and
I think he was already famous. Why did you have him on the project?
He wasn't. He's out there saying
did
he wasn't
some
famous
guy,
then.
Some guy drive into his front yard drunk. I woke up this morning and there was a car in our living room. Was he on for that reason?
No, he was on for his financial advice.
He was already famous.
Yeah, all right. Well, he's now mega famous. Yes. He's the Barefoot Investor. The Barefoot Investor for Families is out now. His books are the best-selling books in Australia.
He has changed the lives of just about everybody in our office.
Well, don't go anywhere because he might change your life if you listen to him next.
Yes, he's very... He makes awful money things easy and doable.
Exactly. Hughesy and Kate catch up.
Guys, joining us in the studio is the man behind the biggest financial cult in Australia. It is the man Scott Pape, the Barefoot Investor.
And cults are normally associated with bad things, Katie, but this cult is something you'd like your family to get involved with.
Really good, because in our office we have worked with people who are not, like most of us, who are a bit overwhelmed by money things and they're just like getting their coffees every day and getting Uber Eats and la la la. And suddenly we noticed it was all tightening up a bit. And how many people have said that they have read your books, Scott Pape, and changed their lives with very simple but effective techniques for managing money, which most people feel overwhelmed by?
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. Like I wrote that book thinking that we would sell, honestly, maybe 20,000 copies.
The first Barefoot Investor.
Yeah, which is if you're over a million, you're heading towards 2 million, I
something
imagine.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's been updated this
and
year.
And crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. I've got the Barefoot Investor for Families.
Yes.
Which our producer Sash is employing your jar technique with her boy Milo.
Yes. Well, it was actually quite hard because this is the only money guide you'll ever need. So I'm kind of like the John Farnham of the finance publishing industry.
It's hard to bring out a different book. When
it is, but, you know, this is
because that wouldn't
kids.
Be financial.
Well, he'd got around
but also, it wouldn't be financially sensible to buy another finance book when you've already got the only one you'll ever need. So that goes against your financial wisdom.
So after selling this book, this is sort of dedicated to anyone who read my first book and said, why wasn't I taught this when I was a kid?
Which is almost everyone, mate.
Which is almost literally everyone.
Literally everyone in Australia. And you got three children now.
Three kids.
And I believe you want to put on record that I am responsible for your family. Is that right? Yep.
Well, I mean, you know, we go back a long way.
The original project, Katie. And I
one of the first episodes.
I think I introduced Scott to the show. Anyway, let's just say I did. And I introduced you to your wife, who was a producer on project, Liz.
She was my best producer, so I thought I should marry her.
How often were you doing stuff with her? On the show.
Look, they put me around to a few different producers, and when they gave me Liz, I said,
Liz is stunning.
I want to stick with
absolutely stunning.
With this.
I have no idea, but was it a secret relationship for a little while or not?
Oh, I think it probably was.
I mean, it's not professional to be mixing.
Liz has called, actually. She said she's starting a hashtag Me Too against you. She believes you could be good for a bit of coin.
And it was hard because I actually got dumped by the project. It was quite a harsh one. So she couldn't be my producer anymore.
That was the best thing that ever happened because you took off once that you left the project behind. Not? That's when the $1 million, you know, the million-seller book
came
out.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing.
Yes.
Because I've been looking at your columns that you've done in newspapers for years and years.
Thank you.
I don't know why, because normally I don't read financial things at all. And a lot of it's dry. But what's always stood out about yours is that it was very fresh, very refreshing, and also you just cut through stuff.
Yes.
So when people are talking about setting up elaborate things, you'd really just cut through
that. You're just not going to do it. You know, it's just if you try and do too many things, you're just not going to do it. And so that was the thing about the first book. It was trying to get your partner on board by going out on date nights. And literally I wrote that book around the idea of trying to get Liz to love finance as much as me. And I still haven't got there.
No, it's very hard.
It is very hard.
My wife has no interest.
No.
Absolutely no interest in all our portfolios.
You said she's quite good at spending it.
I said to her, can you look after the flats? And anyway.
A bit of a humble brag there, Hughesy.
No humility.
It's a very humble block of flats.
When you were coming in today, Hughesy said, I just can't apply myself to financial matters. I should at least look at my bank accounts and find out who's stealing
from
me.
So much money doesn't have to worry about
well,
it.
Well, he works hard.
Why have you got three jars in front of you?
So this is really, it is the time of the year for your kids. You want to make sure that they are financially strong. So the one thing that I always do with primary school kids is to get jam jars. They don't need Dolomites accounts. They don't need bank accounts, even though the banks want to sign them up because they want to try and get a bit of a, you know, it's good for them. They want to get a customer. That's how they do it.
Yeah. Right, yes.
The real lesson happens when they turn 18 and they send you a credit card. But for me, jam jars are the new bank accounts. The kids can actually see the money going in. They have to work. It's just creating that link between doing pocket money and getting paid.
And, you know, coming into Christmas and a lot of people find themselves getting more stuff than they need.
Sure.
Or meant to.
Yes.
What advice do you have for that?
Just one for a second. Well, the jam jars, you see through.
Yes.
See the money. So not a piggy bank that you can't see through. So look through so they can see the money.
Yeah, what I want to see is the more I work,
you can see it through the glass,
the more I get paid. So it's, I call it the 3-3-3. So it's three jobs, because if you make kids do more than that, you're never going to do it. Yep. Right? They're just going to wear you down. You end up just going to give them the money and then they're going to be entitled. So three jobs on a Sunday, three jars, smile, splurge and give. Give being the most important one. And 3 minutes for the parents to say on a Sunday, have you done your chores? If not, do them, and then they dish them out. The give jar is the idea of you don't want to raise entitled brats. That's what you want to do. You want to get your kids to be giving some money away, whether it be in to a food bank or to a Meals on Wheels, or, you know, just buying something that you put under the Smith family.
Yeah, right.
Three jam jars. Okay, did your kids eat jam?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they love jam.
You don't have to.
I know jam's out of vogue.
You can just get rid of them. And
you can buy them from an op shop.
Buy them from an op shop.
Op shops have always got jam jars.
Smile is all about saving up for something. Splurge is so you don't raise a tightwad. You want your kids to be spending. You don't want a tight-ass kid.
Yeah, right.
So the economy keeps going. Yeah.
And you want to give. You don't want one of those tight-fisted,
if we had those jars in our
kids.
House and we got four kids.
Yes. Oh, no, you got to lock them away.
Yeah,
because they steal.
All right, yes.
one of my kids leaves it in the dog flaps so his little brother can't get at them.
Yeah, right.
So,
good idea.
Good point.
We want to help people here by giving away a couple of your books.
Oh, thank you.
We know that everyone buys them anyway, but this is for, so we're going to do it?
Yeah, 13-10-60. Scott Pope's the Barefoot Investor for Families. It is in stores right now, but if you call 13-10-60, we've got a few of those to give away.
You've liberated a lot of people, Scott Pape.
Thank you.
Good on you.
Thank you.
You're a bloody legend, mate.
Get a copy of the book right now in stores. And don't forget, call us 13-10-60. Scott Pape, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
The Husey and Kate catch up. Husey and Kate.
So, Scott Pape just in here. The Barefoot Investors for Investor for Families. I get it. New
the
bestseller.
Year that we had off the radio, my husband and I made ourselves do all those things. Like, we have four children and we didn't have a will. Can you believe that? That was terrible.
Yeah, no, I can believe that.
But I know a lot of people are the same. Do you have a will? I bet you don't. I'm
pretty sure we do now.
Anyway, you feel good when you get it done. He's a good guy.
Now, the subject of your husband.
Yes.
He has said something to you. You believe it's a great compliment.
I think it might be. I loved it.
But other people at this party you're at
were sort of like, ooh, you want to be careful saying that, mate. That vibe. Laughing. Fun.
I can't wait to hear what he said. Your husband said this to you and you believe it's a compliment.
A great compliment.
Would you want my honest opinion?
Well, I already know yours will be
nasty. I don't even know what it is.
Yours will be nasty.
I don't know what it is. And me and Jack will give our honest.
Will I tell you now?
Yeah.
Yes, give us
our. I'll tell you now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Go for it.
Let's ask the people at home as well. And
people are still calling to get Scott Pape's book.
We're good.
There.
Yeah. All right. 13-10-60. Kate's going to tell the story and you can tell her whether you think it's. I think that's more Scott Pape come through there.
If they can't
get through, that's fine.
Yeah, so this is honest opinion.
So we're at a party on Saturday night, and this is the time of year, you know, you're like back to back. We'd gone straight from a barbecue to a...
If we got the music, mate. My girl loves to...
Party Hill for Tomorrow.
Is it there somewhere? No one.
Your girl didn't want to party all the time.
No one parties harder than Kate Lambert.
Your girl came home from the barbecue and... where we'd been swimming and had to lie on the bed and I just fell asleep.
No one parties.
Anyway, it ended up being a lovely party.
Of course it was.
Anyway, and while we were there, we were there talking to a friend that Peter had met before me, a friend of his, an Italian guy called Marco. And
an old friend?
No, he's met him like this year. He's met him this year, I think through basketball or something, you know.
An independent friend.
Yeah, an independent friend. So it was
when you said a friend he'd met before you, I thought he'd met him 20 years ago.
Oh, no, no, no. He'd met him this year.
Yeah, but not,
and he told me about him.
Yeah.
You know when men meet a guy that they like? It's very rare with men. So you sort of notice that he's met a guy he really likes.
Hmm.
Anyway. And I met him at the party and we were talking. He's Italian. So we were talking about how we're trying to learn Italian.
Yeah.
And we were talking a tiny little bit of Italian.
Yep.
And as you know, my husband, we're like the hare and the rabbit. And my husband is very diligent. He's the tortoise. Oh, no, not the hare and the rabbit. The tortoise and the rabbit. Or the hare and the tortoise.
I don't know.
Like, yeah, no, a rabbit, you know, one yeah, is slow and fast. Steady wins the race.
The other one goes really quick, yeah.
And I'm quick but sleeping under a bush and lazy,
yep.
So I'm not winning the Italian, learning Italian race. And we were talking to Marco about it.
Yeah.
And Peter was saying, oh, no, she's amazing about me, which has been a lovely thing, us both learning it, because we both think the other one's really amazing. I mean, that helps in a relationship, but it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Better than only one of you thinking that you're amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it depends who you're talking to, I suppose. Isn't it? So,
anyway, and I said to him, to Marco, the Italian, I said, you know what I find really frustrating? Because I have so many words at my disposal in my mind, because I work with words all the time, that I'm used to opening a drawer in my brain, the mental elves, and they're full of words.
Yep.
Big words, little words, whatever. And in Italian, I go to open the drawer, the mental elves open the drawer, and there's nothing in there. But I'm so arrogant, I think there must be, but there's not. And then Marco goes, oh, no, that will come. And Peter said, oh, no, you don't understand my wife. He said, my wife is so good at talking. He said, she's so good at it. She's like.
What? Yeah.
He said, she's like, like the Einstein of talking.
Right.
And I was like, am I? That's such a lovely compliment. But other people who were standing around us didn't seem to think it was as lovely a compliment as I did.
Einstein of talking.
The Einstein of talking. She's the Einstein of talking.
She's so good at talking.
That was his thing.
That's a tricky one.
I loved it.
Is he being sarcastic?
Oh, no, he wasn't being sarcastic.
Are you sure?
But is that a compliment? Even if he's not being sarcastic, is that a compliment to say? It's like saying someone's the Einstein of robbing houses. Do you know what I mean? It might not necessarily be a compliment.
No, that would definitely be a compliment. If you're Einstein of robbing houses, that's definitely a compliment.
But you're a thief.
Yeah. That's what you want to do.
Okay.
But you want to talk, the Einstein of talking.
Anyway, then we found a grab. Have you ever heard Einstein talk?
Not sure.
No, I never have.
I can't recall hearing
him talk. No, do you want to hear him?
Yeah, I'd love to hear him talk.
Have a listen.
I am glad that you have me given the opportunity of expressing to you here my deep sense of gratitude as a man, as a good European, and as a Jew.
How's that?
But
I mean, he wasn't the Einstein of talking.
No, he's not the Einstein of talking.
No, but isn't that interesting to hear him?
Is English his first language?
No.
Interesting.
No, he was an European, he said, remember?
Yeah, but I mean, if he
Of course not.
Well, I didn't know. I'm asking a question.
Was he German? Remember, I've told you about Einstein before.
Yeah, well,
how he was mean to his wife but fell in love with his cousin.
Well, if that's his second language, he's quite good at talking.
All right. What's your ruling? I know you want to. I think it's a lovely compliment.
Well, I'll get a couple of opinions before I give you my. Oh, actually.
Oh,
now we've got to do this quick. Des, what do you say? Compliment or no compliment?
I think that's a great compliment considering he's a talk show radio host.
Yeah,
thank you, Des.
Yep. All right. Maxine, what do you reckon? Is it a compliment?
I think it's a compliment. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Sharon, what do you. Sharon, compliment or not?
Definitely compliment. You're so articulate, Kate. You're absolute wordsmith.
All right. Oh, thank you, Sharon. What? Not an Italian.
It appears to be.
It's a compliment. Yeah.
And I'm going to go with the majority here. I think it is a compliment.
Yeah, well, I was happy about it.
You're certainly.
I thought you'd like to take it off me.
Very good at talking, and your husband has experienced it more than anyone else.
Well, that's it.
Hughie and Kate catch up.
Time to fire up the satellite.
And now, with all the talk from Tinseltown, it's Dave Hollywood.
You weary and you wise, those crushed by Christmas, and those wise enough to know that the season will come upon you anyway, whether you let your shopping list drop or not. For all of us are tired at this time of year and hanging by a thread. And that's why we cross to Hollywood to see those of Tinseltown and how they live their magic lives, unafflicted as we are by aching backs and bags of groceries.
Yeah, right. Now, come on, we've got to get on with it. That's all right, that's enough.
Hollywood Hugh.
We're not in the world of hatchback cars, we're in the world of limousines.
Absolutely, and how refreshing.
Ariana Grande, who has released this great song that we've heard a bit of, has just dropped my good
Pete
friend.
Pete Davidson?
No, that's happened a little while ago. She's just dropped the music video.
Has she?
Mm.
Did she break it?
This is not the segment for poor jokes. This is a segment for real information from one big name in Hollywood about other
people.
Were
big you names at the launch, Hollywood?
Yes, I was.
Oh, where did she do it?
In Hollywood. She's paid homage to chick flicks, including Mean Girls, Legally Blonde, and Bring It On in the video.
Love it.
Yeah, it's got a stack of celebrity cameos. Jennifer Coolidge reprises her role as Paulette from Legally Blonde. She's the bend and snap woman.
Yes.
Mean Girls star Jonathan Bennett and Stephanie Drummond also return.
Tell me about more about those people.
They return as their characters.
And who were they, characters?
They know who they were. Aussie Troy Sivan, who's like salt everything, is in everything. Like MSG, some would say. I enjoy MSG when it's in stuff.
So do I. It makes things taste delicious.
I enjoy Troy Sivan. So he has.
I don't think he's a flavour enhancer. I think he is the main ingredient.
Yeah, he's a main meal.
So poor example.
Well, you know, well, that's your opinion. Now, I mean, Kris Jenner plays Ariana's proud mum.
Momager.
Her momager. Mm. Yeah. So it's already had 100 million streams on Spotify.
Has it?
Yeah. The song.
Yes.
Anyway, the song mentions some of her past lovers, and there's been quite a few. Big Sean.
Yeah.
Mac Miller, the late, great Mac Miller.
Poor
and
Mac.
Pete Davidson, who's, you know, obviously just her ex-fiancé. But this is the big news, Katie.
Drum roll.
Yes. Ariana Grande has covered up her Pete Davidson tattoo with a tribute to the late, great Mac Miller.
Oh, no. No, Hollywood, say it ain't so.
Where she used to have the tattoo 8414.
Something to do with his dad?
Yeah, a badge number of his late father, who was a firefighter.
Who died
on September 11th.
Being a first responder.
So she's covered up that tattoo.
Oh, no.
With the tattoo saying Myron, which is the name of Mac Miller's dog, who I'm sure.
No.
I don't believe he was involved in 9/11, but...
Oh, no, he would have been just a pup, if at all.
So, yes. So this is shocking.
Oh, no, that's not. Shocking. That's hurtful.
Yes, to
That's really
to
terrible.
Many
I mean, you can cover it over, but to cover it over with an X...
I don't think you do cover it over. I think you make it... Once you make a decision to put a hero firefighter's... Badge number on you, no matter what their son does.
Yes.
No, the sins.
What has the son done, Hollywood?
Well, I don't know. He broke her heart, obviously.
I don't think he broke her heart. I think she broke his heart.
Well, there were hearts broken.
Hearts were broken.
Nothing to do with the dad, so really.
Hollywood.
Disappointing.
I can't believe it.
And no opportunity for jokes. But sneezes are okay. Bless you.
And that's
the wrap.
That, folks, is a wrap.
Husey and Kate.
Guys, we've got a new season of Behind the Show going up online. If no one's seen the last season, it's basically just following around what happens behind the scenes here and on the Husey and Kate show.
Our guy Casey does it. And then he always says, I'm a fly on the wall, guys. And how annoying is he in the every buzzing time we're like doing mosquito. Something, we look up and there he is spying.
Look, I personally think I ignore him, but there's talk that you crank it up.
Well, apparently, because I...
Casey, does she crank it up and become even more outrageous than she already... She's already really outrageous off air. Does she get even more outrageous when the camera's around, do you think? Because I'm saying, people, we need you need to go and see it.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. You've got to see it.
What's outrageous that I do?
Well, you go and see it and find out.
You can go
online. Is the prank in there? No.
You can go and check out all of the action on Facebook. It's all thanks to our partners at Canon Australia.
Yes, Canon Australia, the best place to have anything to do with photography.
All right.
Coming up next, though.
What is coming up next?
I tell you, who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? And where do they let the dogs out?
There better be a good excuse for that.
The New South Wales Police need to have a good hard long look at themselves when we come back.
All right.
Where have the dogs been?
Husey and Kate.
Katie. This is who let the dogs out. Sometimes the dogs need to stay in. And I'm a dog man. You know that. I've got two dogs. Let them out all the time. But appropriately. And there's some places they shouldn't be and they don't go to those places.
For instance?
My dogs don't go...
shopping.
No, they don't go shopping. They go anywhere where people are.
Do you know in America they could go shopping and in Europe they could come with you into a restaurant?
Tell you where sniffer dogs shouldn't go though.
Oh,
they shouldn't go to a high school formal. Can you believe it? It's high school formal. And the New South Wales Southern Tablelands.
Was it an accident?
Well, the high school leavers, they're at their formal. And the dogs, the police had their sniffer dogs and they just thought they'd do the whole
area.
What,
at the front of the formal?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what happened?
Well, teenagers from Mulwarri High School had gathered to celebrate their graduation at around 7 p.m. on November 15 when the police patrol arrived with the sniffer dogs. Yeah.
Oh, that's...
And so they sniffed them all.
And?
Well, I don't think they were all good, which is great. I don't think any of them were, you know, none of them had done the wrong thing. But does that really put you off your graduation?
Don't like it. I don't like it.
That sniffer dogs. Police, New South Wales police say there was no targeted operation at the formal.
Well, why did they do that?
They're saying it was a general patrol. So they were out and about. So they thought they'd go sniff everyone.
I'm so confused by that because, you know, in our neighbourhood, there's just a general open transaction of drugs. I've never seen the cops arrive with sniffer dogs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how come it's all right for some people?
Yes.
And then it's not all right for other people.
Right, I was walking.
It shouldn't be all right for anyone,
You know what? On that subject, today I'm walking my two dogs this morning.
Really?
Through a park.
Tell me, Father, why do you call them two dogs?
Because there's two of them. And there was some blokes sitting down having a syringe party.
Yeah, right.
Just in full view.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Full view.
Full view.
Do you want a syringe? You have a syringe? Full we'll all view. Have syringes.
So I don't understand
and
why that's
all
right.
I've got my dogs in there. I'm not sniffing them.
Like, who has those conversations and go, oh, we won't worry about those people shooting up on the footpath where people walk past. We'll go to some kids' school where they're all dressed up for their formal.
Yeah.
And we'll cast a bit of a pall over the evening.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I mean... Look,
are you sure they didn't find anything?
No, I'm pretty. They didn't find anything. They didn't find anything.
And I'd like to know if this is true or not, that those sniffer dogs are addicted
to the old.
Well, that's how they train them to find whatever they're looking for.
Get them hooked on.
Have you heard that?
No.
Your brother was a copper.
Yeah. It's all to do with rewards and stuff. They do with like the dog's favorite.
Yeah,
treat.
We know what.
So
yes,
when they find it,
we
they
know
get
what
given
the dog's favorite treat is, mate.
Well, no,
we know what it
good
is.
Boy.
Well, do you reckon they get a percentage of what they can
catch? I don't even know if that's true. But
do they get 20%?
The Husey and Kate catch up. Husey and Kate.
Yes, here to entertain you this afternoon.
Katie, I'm nursing a sore ankle and a sore lower back because I did something at 11:30 today.
This morning?
I went old school. Old school. When we come back, we're going to celebrate going back to the future. If you could turn back time.
Was it trying to break the 4-minute mile?
No, Roger Bannister did that.
Yes.
Our man was not far behind him, wasn't he?
Who was our man?
Ron Clark, was it? No. Herb Elliott? No, someone. I don't know. One of those
don't
guys.
Know. We don't know.
There's an Australian who won a gold medal at an Olympics who no one really ever celebrates.
Who is that?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know who that is?
A male runner.
The one who did that almost 4-minute mile.
Well, he did. It was some guy.
Well, this is not helping the cause of celebrating, is it?
Might do some research during this song and come back.
Our producers might tell us. Are they awake? No, I can't see. They're sitting behind me.
There's a lot of information there, but yes, I'll get back to that.
They're just pointing at each other. Look at that. Mr. Darcy's just, she'll do it.
Hughie and Kate catch up.
Yes.
Hughie has a million dreams about Pink.
I love Pink. Mm-hmm. She's a bloody trooper. Mm. And she had terrible gastro when she was in Australia last.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's like she was, you know.
Well, there was that virus going around all winter, really.
I had some comedian friend of mine just got back from India. And there was a comedy roadshow of Australian comedians.
Oh, no.
Whole lot of them got it for a long time. Two of them defecated in public. One of them on an 18-hour train trip.
Oh, well, you know.
Shocking.
All you hear about. Yeah, I think it's almost impossible to go to India and not have that experience depending on where you're going.
One of them had survived right through to the last weekend and then had a lettuce. Never eat the salad, apparently. Never eat the salad in India.
I think you can.
Don't eat the salad in India. That's what they say.
Well, don't eat raw things,
Don't do that. Hey,
who was it, by the way?
I was thinking of Ralph Dubell, who was the last...
Last male
track and field athlete to win a gold medal for Australia at the Olympics. And no one knows his name, Ralph Dubell. He won it in Mexico in 1968.
Shocking. I don't think I've ever even heard that name.
It's terrible. And he equaled the world record in the 800 metres.
Mind you, you could say a lot of Australian scientists, and I wouldn't know their names, who have done life-changing things.
Yeah, well, that's true. Absolutely. But he beat, you know, an African. So, Kenyan favourite.
Well, when the Africans start to come through for Australia,
he beat...
things will change, won't they?
Well, he beat Kenyan favourite Wilson Kiprugut. And equaled the world record.
I've lost interest.
1 minute 4.3 seconds.
Oh, for how far?
For 800 metres.
Oh, see, that's a strange distance.
But it's two laps.
Oh, okay. Two
laps of the oval. Right.
So they don't do that now, do they?
Yes, they do, Katie. Absolutely they do.
Now, it doesn't seem to be one of the marquee events.
They go from
100, 200, 400,
800, 1500, 5000, 10000, marathon. Katie. On another subject, but still sporting, I had a sporting triumph today.
You said you went back to the future.
Yeah, if you could turn back time. I had my first victory at a sport in 25 years. It was today. First time in 25 years I have won a game of squash. Beat a buddy of mine.
Are they real sound effects?
Yeah, that's squash.
Did you record that at the game?
Or YouTube, I'd say. So, but it was similar to that.
Yes, I imagine it was.
But more grunting, more yelling, more...
Did you wear goggles?
My opponent wore goggles, leaving me completely my eyes were open, vulnerable. Because there's more eyeballs lost in squash than any other activity. Because that eye.
Any other activity?
Yes, the squash ball goes right in your eye socket.
It's almost designed to be the same size as the eye socket.
And it is a game of trust squash.
Is that why it's called squash?
There's two people on a very small area, both with rackets.
In a big room.
It's not that big.
But just high walls all around.
Four walls.
I remember going in when I was at school and it was like there was no escape.
Yeah, there isn't. And it's sweaty, very sweaty. And I got
Where did you find a squash court? Are they many?
Not
now?
Many. No, I knew of two, and I rang one place closer to my home, and a school group had booked it out, which was really disappointing.
Why? So I had to go closer to my
friend because my friend is playing squash regularly, and I.
Where did you get a friend?
I've got friends.
When did that happen?
They're acquaintances.
Who's this friend?
His name is Ben Lomas. He's just come off Australian Ninja Warrior. So, yeah, so fit.
When did you befriend him?
Fit.
When did you befriend him?
He just did Australian Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, I want to know how you befriended him. It's very unusual that you...
He did Australian Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, is that... Why don't you want to answer this question?
He was the warm-up guy, so he didn't really do that much. Oh, but still, he was in it.
You know him professionally.
I know him. He's a comedian. Mm. So yeah.
I know he's a comedian, but how did you befriend each other?
Well, we hang out at gigs, and then he said he played squash, and I said, I used to play squash back in the 80s. And he said, do you want to have a hit? And I said, yes, I do. And we've played twice now. First time he won, 3-2. But today, Husey, 3-1. Victor. I want to show you my face.
How red you get?
Oh, I'm red as a beetroot. Put it on Instagram. People love it. Love seeing me red-faced.
It's like windsurfing. You just don't see it anymore.
Kite surfing, though. You see that?
Yeah, it's taken on another turn.
Anyway, find a squash court, Australia. Get out there.
They've all been turned into townhouses.
Yeah, they have, because it's not many people.
You'll annoy
squash.
People if you turn up with your racket and your goggles.
Husey and Kate.
That's about it from us.
Sasha, our producer, has been
Best producer in Australia.
We won an award.
One of the best in the world.
We've got a great producing team, though, including Darcy.
Oh, well, we
and
do,
Carly,
but she's the leader of them.
Yeah, I understand that. Absolutely.
Scum always rises to the top.
Yeah, she's won the award.
She has.
Now,
do they respect you, Sash, or?
They respect me. It's whether other people respect me.
Like Kate in particular.
Yes.
Whether you just...
I'm riddled with respect.
Now, you've done a bit of research on what a squash ball can do to an eyeball.
Yeah, no, I was just reading a bit more about it. And it says if the squash ball hits hard enough, it can actually burst the whole eyeball so it explodes.
Yeah, exploding eyeballs.
Oh, do you reckon that would be on YouTube?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it'd be...
That would be horrendous, but still fascinating to watch.
So
my opponent had the goggles and I didn't.
Well, why didn't you?
Because I don't have
I
goggles.
Don't trust a man if I'm turning up to play squash with someone that was
goggles.
His idea. And he's got goggles and you don't.
I've
got
to get some goggles. Yeah, I will. Get the goggles.
All right, that's it from us. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you can podcast it, download the Hit app, and go and check out Behind the Show. All thanks to our mates at Canon Australia. That is on Facebook right now, and we will see you tomorrow.
Back tomorrow. Bye, all.
Catch up on Husey and Kate in comfort and style with a pair of Skechers new Go Run Mojo trainers. See the range at Skechers.com.au.
Want more Husey and Kate? Download the Hit app. Want access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at Hit.com.au. Husey.